In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The demon-possessed man is an image of all fallen men. By nature, all men are the house of demons. So we make a distinction between physical possession and spiritual possession. And when we say spiritual possession, we don't mean metaphorical or symbolic. It's a real bodily possession. Still, it just differs from the physical. The physical possession is what we run into in this account. The demon had physical control over the man. In this case, it prevented him from speaking. So the man is not in complete control of himself. Spiritual possession, though, is different. Spiritual possession, the man is still in full and complete control of himself. And yet, nevertheless, the demons still abide in him. We rarely encounter the former nowadays, while the latter is all around us. At one time, we were among them. We too were conceived and born in sin, not in the kingdom of God, but in the kingdom of the devil. When we lived by this fallen flesh, we bore fruit that led only to death. We did not know that we were the house of demons, but it didn't change the reality. The demons were our house guests, though we denied their existence. The kingdom of Satan was our home, though we knew nothing of it. And we fought against Christ, even though we may have been indifferent toward Christians. So the point is this, that we cannot save ourselves from these devils, because we are blissfully unaware of just how much influence they have over a fallen world. So the point is this, that Christ saved us from them by dying on the cross, and then he brought that cross to bear on us at baptism. Baptism is an exorcism that drives out these spiritual possessors. The first words we hear in the baptismal rite, "Depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit." We are always the house of someone, abrupt, to the point, clear. And through baptism, the stronger man has plundered the strong man's kingdom. He rescued us from that dominion of darkness and brought us into his heavenly kingdom. He opened our mute lips so that we might declare his praise. He came to save us when we could not come to him. And he doesn't leave us empty, but as those words say, he fills us with the Holy Spirit. We are always the home of someone. Through baptism, he has gifted us this Spirit. Everything is swept clean and put in order, for God is a God of order. All sin is wiped out. We are pure and spotless, outwardly and also inwardly. Everything has its place. We now have purpose. The Spirit lives inside of us. The Spirit strives with us so that we can carry out the good works God has prepared for us to do in advance. By giving us our vocations, God gives us opportunity to live our faith and to express our faith. But this cannot be done apart from the Holy Spirit. For where the Holy Spirit dwells with his gracious presence, there is faith. And by necessity, then, there always is good works. But Christ issues quite a stern warning to us believers who have this gift of the Holy Spirit. We do well to listen. You can lose him. A believer can revert back to unbelief. The Holy Spirit can leave. The house of God can become the house of demons once more. Think of King Saul, the first king of Israel. He was anointed by God, filled with the Holy Spirit to carry out the work of driving out the Philistines and setting his people Israel free. For a while, Saul followed the will of God. But then, time after time, he blatantly disregarded and disobeyed God's clear word to him. And the Holy Spirit will not remain where he is not wanted. Through willful disobedience, he drove out the Holy Spirit, and an evil spirit came and tormented him. Saul was swept clean and put in order, and those spirits, evil spirits, came back to repossess him. And thus faith also cannot be present. This is what Satan wants for you. This is why he wants you to fall into sin and to see it as no big deal. God hates sin because it deprives him of the glory and honor that is due only him, but he also hates sin because he knows what it does to you. It separates you from him. It cuts you off from his gracious presence. Apathy toward sin will eventually lead to apathy toward Christ. Seeing sin as simply a social, something that is socially forbidden, instead of as something that God forbids, will eventually make your condition worse than he was at first. God will not stay where he is not welcomed. You can't call yourself a Christian and then deliberately live contrary to the word of God. You can't be in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. You can't be both the house of God and the house of demons. You still will be a fine person outwardly. You still will be loving and kind. You still would know the Bible stories and even the catechism. But faith would be gone because the Spirit would be gone. And faith cannot remain where the Spirit has left. Knowing that this is what the devil wants for you, knowing that this is what his goal is, how will you stand up to him? He's the strong man, which means that he is stronger than you are. If you think that he is make-believe, or probably better, if you think that he really has little control over this world, then you really see no need for Christ. But if you see him as still having great influence over this world, perhaps as we see in our day, if you see him, as Christ says, as the prince of this world, the ruler of this kingdom on earth, then you certainly see a need for Christ. Because you are not strong enough. So Jesus gives us the answer on how we can overcome. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. The word is your defense. Why? Because whenever that word is spoken, the Holy Spirit comes yet again to your heart to strengthen and fortify you. So the devil cannot have a foothold. God doesn't simply give you the Spirit one time at the moment of conversion, or one time at your baptism. But whenever the word is opened, whenever you hear and meditate on it, the Spirit himself flies to your heart to once more make it his dwelling place. And where that Spirit comes, he always brings with him the stronger man, your crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The one who has crushed the serpent's head. His word of absolution washes clean your heart and puts everything in order. You are without stain, free from sin, because his word has made you so. He strengthens and fortifies you, makes you bold and courageous to face whatever the world may have for us, whatever dangers or diseases may come to us. His word gives you confidence that he is in full and complete control. His word moves you to recognize your sin. And as we confessed at the beginning of our service, that we justly deserve both temporal and eternal punishments because of what we are. It is only by God's grace, then, that we confess we have anything good in this life. His word opens our eyes to see all things as a gift from God. And the Holy Spirit flies once more to your heart, strengthening and sustaining what he has planted. So the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, comes to the believer and makes his home in the believer. And that is why those who hear the word of God and keep it are blessed. They are the very temples of God, a more pure and holy temple than King Solomon's, or than any church that could be built. It is God who drives out these demons. It is God who creates faith. It is God who keeps them out, and it is God who keeps faith alive and active. And he does this only through that word and the visible word, the holy sacraments. When we cut ourselves off from the word of God and from the sacraments, then we are separating ourselves from the Holy Spirit. And faith cannot help but to wither away. Do not give the devil a foothold as King Saul did. Confess your sins. Receive his forgiveness. Don't try to be the stronger man. Christ is. Don't let the government be the stronger man. Christ is. Don't let vaccinations or anything else be the stronger man. Christ alone is. Flee to him, and you will find safety and peace and security in his arms. The Spirit comes to you once again, and he will dwell with you. Faith will prosper. Good works will abound. But if you step away from the word, if you think you cannot fall, if you think you have learned and know enough, if you think that you can separate yourself from the stronger man, or if you look to a different strong man and do not receive the gifts of Christ, then those demons will come back, guaranteed. So to the word, to the sacraments, as often as we can, to the word, to the sacraments, receive them in faith. For the Lord has promised to always work through them for your good. He will drive out all sin. He will deepen your faith. He will protect you from the devils. He will give you strength and boldness to face whatever may come. He will restore you to holiness. In short, he will save you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.